Welcome to the Industrial IoT Spotlight, your number one spot for insight from industrial IoT thought leaders who are transforming businesses today, with your host, Eric Walenza.
Welcome back to the Industrial IoT Spotlight podcast. I'm Eric Walenza, CEO of IoT One, and your host today. This podcast is brought to you by PTC and LiveWorks, the world's most respected digital transformation conference. In this series, we will feature partners of PTC who are driving digital innovation and value creation today. Today, we're speaking with Jeff Miller, Vice President of Advisory Services at PTC. And with Jeff, we'll discuss the topic of pilot purgatory. In particular, we'll explore why the concept of pilot purgatory is relevant to the digital physical convergence and what strategic and tactical steps companies can take to successfully deploy transformative solutions at scale. Jeff, thank you for speaking with us today.
Eric, pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So this is a very interesting topic that we're going to be discussing, pilot purgatory and then the path to scaling an IoT solution. But before we get into the discussion at hand, Jeff, it would be great if in your own words, you can give a quick background to yourself, where you're coming from, and why are you a good person to be speaking with on the topic today?
Well, thank you for that. I've been with PTC 7 years and have watched us successfully move through several different transitions and advancements in technology. I'm a manufacturing person by career. And I get very excited about these deployments of technology in the factory setting that actually drive measurable improvements. So a few years ago, really 3 years ago, PTC decided that they would stand up a very focused practice to help customers as they deploy these new technologies, help them start off on the right foot with use case selection, value models, the right kinds of connectivities. And so we have a group of folks that focus on helping people do that. And that's my role at PTC, to lead that team that works with our customers to help them get started towards success.
That's great. And I think one of the topics that has come up quite recently is that often if a project is less successful than expected, it's often not because the technology failed. It's because there were potentially human issues in terms of setting the right scope, coordinating. And is that basically what you're supporting with, making sure that the foundation is laid and then walking the project through to address problems that are outside the technology domain? Or can you just give us a little bit more depth in terms of what PTC Advisory Services looks like?
That's absolutely right. It's the group that we lead here is more focused on getting the business conditions aligned to the technology. And this may sound strange coming from the leading IoT software company, but success really is driven as much by proper business alignment, proper identification and sequencing of use cases, prioritization, than it is the technology. If we get that first part right, then the odds of success, the likelihood of success, go up greatly. And that's what we focus on. So the proper selection of use cases, the right identification of the right business issues to address, or where the technologies can prove most valuable in proper sequence, that's a factor a lot of companies we find are still struggling with. Even if they select the proper use cases or the proper business issues to address, the sequencing becomes really important. This is something we set on, about 3 years ago with our business transformation journeys. And again, we're not alone in this. We were very early to it as a company, and it's proven to be incredibly important and continues to this day to be important. Priority, sequence, as well as the problems that you're seeking to solve or the improvements you're seeking to make themselves. And it's very easy in these times when the technologies are so stunning and so powerful to become very focused on those and lead with those. Lead with the digital strategy and not lead with the linkage to the business strategy. It's an easy mistake to make. And we try to help companies make sure that they keep things in the proper order and the proper sequence, and they may remain aligned to their business strategies and solve those problems rather than looking for the technology deployments first.
And today we're going to kick off with a discussion of this concept of pilot purgatory. And my understanding of the concept is that exactly as you've just described, companies get somewhat enamored with the potential that the technology offers. They then launch an ambitious pilot project expecting some significant result. And then for a variety of reasons, the pilot doesn't move forward and towards a practical deployment that has real business impact. Those could be often human issues or organizational issues. Is that also your understanding of the concept of pilot purgatory? How would you describe this scenario as it applies to IoT deployments?
I think you described it exactly right, Eric. And I use a different vocabulary here, and it's one that we're starting to hear used more frequently. But when we talk about pilot purgatory, we're generally talking about proofs of concept, pilots that often are used synonymously and interchangeably with proof of concept. And I think that's one of the core issues. When we stand up a pilot, even if it is a small-scale production pilot, very often those that stall or end up in the so-called pilot purgatory do so because the value propositions around them, the expected outcomes weren't articulated sufficiently clearly. So what I've done to try and draw a distinction here, help our customers and clients draw distinctions between experimentation and proofs of concept, is to invoke a term called proof of value. Unfortunately, the acronym POV has a lot of other meanings, but I distinguish between proof of concept and proof of value. Proofs of concept should prove that the technologies, the platforms, the applications built on those platforms will work, technically speaking, with the company's existing infrastructure, enterprise systems, and business processes at a technical level. That's fine. That can be done and can be checked off. What matters then is basically standing up a pilot to demonstrate proof of value. If at the conclusion of a pilot, the value is clear, the problem has been addressed, there's a measurable improvement in performance, whatever the metrics tend to be, and we can talk more about that a little later in this discussion about the metrics themselves. But we see instances in which those are clearly defined up front. The pilot itself demonstrates those value components. It's far more likely that the pilot will proceed quickly to scaling, or moving from a pilot production of limited scope to a production range of wider scope. So we find that at that moment of the stall, or at the moment that the pilot enters purgatory, we take a stock of where we are. More often than not, we find what's missing is the connection to value. And it sounds simple to say it. It's a little harder to get set up right up front or preemptively, but that's the root of pilot purgatory. So I've started to work with customers around the ideas of distinguishing between proofs of concept, very important, and then proofs of value. And again, it's words, but the meaning behind them and the state of mind when going through a proof of concept or a pilot makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, very simply, it's the difference between can we do it and should we do it, right? In many cases, you'll find that it can be done. The proof of concept is successful, but then it's still unclear if it should be done from a business perspective. If we can get quite practical, and our listeners, I think, extract a lot of value from hearing the process that they might want to go through if they're going to try to shift their mindset from a proof of concept to a proof of value perspective, how would you walk through a customer who maybe had in mind, I have a concept and I want to prove this out, and you then have to go in and help them to shift towards a value-oriented mindset?
Many times, customers' initial foray into the use of IIoT or IoT technologies, the acquisition of a platform, building apps, and so forth to solve problems, is driven by the squeaky wheel, especially in the factory setting, in the manufacturing environment, with its pacing factors and OEE drivers and so on, operational equipment efficiency. And so very often, customers will present, as you say, with the idea. And what we do is say, well, that's a good idea. Now, let's put some wrapper around that and some prerequisites before it. We have six components that we believe are critical to success. And the order here is important. The first thing is to make sure that we are aligned to our business strategy. And it's funny that sometimes you speak with factory operations folks, field service, even engineering folks, and they will know what the company's business strategy is. And I'm talking about strategy in the Michael Porter sense of the term. What is the reason we are here and what is our mission of our company? And they'll know what it is. But then when you ask them to link the idea they have for which they want to implement IoT technology, it's hard to make a connection. And that's problematic. You got to make that connection because that ultimately is what's going to allow you to define the value in a context that means something to the business. So number one, make sure you're aligned to the business strategy. Number two, make sure that there's actually a way to get it done. We understand our culture. We understand the reward systems around whether we allow people to fail quickly, whether we allow people to experiment. That becomes an important factor. Does it link to the technology correctly? That's the proof of concept. In our view, by the time you're ready to implement, pilot or otherwise, any technology, you've gotten your IT and OT people aligned. You've made sure that this technology or these technologies are compatible with your cloud strategy, with your infrastructure, security strategies, and systems and applications and sources of data. Then you're ready to define the use case very clearly in terms that are, you can implement. And after that, a value plan. Now, in there also is a roadmap. You usually have more than one use case. So we assemble the use cases in sequence. For example, it doesn't make sense in a factory to implement preventative maintenance programs on machines if we haven't yet figured out how to get the right data off the machine. So the first thing is to get the data off the machines. That's a use case. And then manage the data for predictive analytics or preventative maintenance. That's a use case. So the order is important. And once you have those components, identify the value. So it's those six things: alignment to business strategy, alignment to how your company works, the innovation processes, alignment to the technology, that's number three, then the use cases themselves, number four, the consolidation of those use cases into a roadmap. And if you have two use cases, you have a roadmap because they have to be sequenced. And then finally, how do we drive value? And what we have found consistently is that if companies address those six components and then launch the production pilot, their odds of success are really, really high. Programs proceed quickly. They succeed. We've tested this with a number of companies, and they don't have to call them these six things specifically, but they at least have to address these six components. So in our discussions with customers, we'll often put this list up there, and we'll simply ask, have you touched all these six items? And if they say yes, great. Then there is a high likelihood of success. And if they haven't, we simply then go back and address that one, and we fill that gap. So that's how we approach this with customers, and it seems to work.
So this is very logical. I imagine in practice, it's not as simple as it seems here. Maybe one example from my side, we are supporting the Shanghai government or one of the district governments here in Shanghai with a smart city project. And their mentality is very much bring me technology and deploy the technology. And I don't want to pay for any advisory services or any thinking through upfront. I want to pay for the technology. And this is, of course, a challenge because what we've walked through is basically the importance of thinking through this in advance. I imagine that potentially governments and potentially the governments in China could be particularly tentative about paying for services. This is not necessarily the case globally, but I imagine in general, this can be a challenge. How do you address this? Is this pushback that you get about companies saying, just sell me the technology, and then you have to convince them that this is really the path to success and risk mitigation? Or is that not an issue in the primary markets that you're serving?
No, it absolutely is. And the timing of our discussion, Eric, is actually very opportune. I was in your part of the world last week. I was in Shenzhen and Dongguan meeting with some of our industrial clients and encountered this exact phenomenon where investments have already been made in technologies to get data, to establish connectivity. And it's very true, I think, in the industrial and commerce sectors, as well as you cited being in the governmental sectors. Give me the technology and we'll figure out the value that it can drive. And that's okay. That's the point of insertion into the process is just later. So to answer that question, where do we deploy? Where's the value? We still have to go back and do some of these things. Now, this can be very heavy or it can be very light, but even in the conversations I had with our China customers last week around this point where they've already decided that they want the technology, in many instances, they already had the technology deployed, and now they're asking for how to find the right value. Then you take the components of this that are still important, and that's the linkage to the business strategy and the connection to value. So even in instances where culturally and economically and just commercial practice, they buy the technology and say, well, let's figure out where the value proposition is or where to deploy it. These same components come into play. So we can restructure these. My left to right process is if you start with a problem you want to solve, let's make sure we've tied all these off. If you've already made the investment, then we still go back and make sure. Otherwise, you end up with a far less efficient process. It becomes more experimental. It becomes more trial and error. And that actually was the conversation we had with a couple of our large customers. You'll succeed, but if the duration, the time it takes to get a successful deployment of this technology, successful measured by it actually delivered value, cost reduction, improvement opportunity, and so forth, there are ways to make that process more streamlined and more efficient if you do these other things as quickly as you can.
Let's assume that a company works with PTC to get a successful POC and POV off the ground, and they're satisfied that this is a valuable solution. What are the challenges then in actually bringing that to scale? Because this can be certainly a circumstance where within a very constrained environment, the value is proven out, the stakeholders are known, and the variables are more or less under control. And then when you start envisioning how this is going to roll out over a large region and bringing in other stakeholders, this can then complicate certainly scale. How do you, maybe we can cover the challenges first and then talk about how you address those challenges of moving from a successful deployment to a successful scaling of that deployment.
After we've done a successful pilot and value's been proven, the next hurdle to jump over is rollout or scaling. And so again, when we talk about use cases specifically in that continuum of a strategy through value plan, when we build the use cases, we look at three components that dictate the success of a use case, success being defined as it actually is transferable. And that's actually one of the three things. Number one, the use case has to be valuable to the business. You have to be solving a problem that matters, not a problem that looks kind of fun to solve. It has to be one that actually drives back to that business strategy. So it has to be valuable. The second one speaks, I think, most directly to your point. The business case has to be transferable, scalable. And that means that in the case of a factory setting, for example, if we're solving a problem around the availability or maintainability of a particular kind of machine, and there's some very technical or esoteric parameters that don't necessarily represent anything else in the business, that may be an important machine to address or probably important use case in part of the factory, but it won't necessarily be scalable easily. Maybe repeatable becomes a term there as well. And the third component is measurable. The thing we see often in use cases is even if they are valuable to the business, even if they are networkable or transferable, the company hasn't decided upon a uniform set of metrics. Metrics are kind of the universal language of value, right? And so if we have a use case that is technically sound, solves a meaningful problem, actually is scalable, transferable, but other parts of the business aren't measuring themselves the same way, then suddenly that use case becomes less appealing and that impedes scalability. So when we get to the stage with a customer of implementing a use case, we do that quick check. Are we solving a problem that the superiors, when you finally unveil this, are going to say, well, that's kind of interesting, but it really didn't solve my problem. Or they say, that actually solves one of the most important problems in the right order that we have. And it's transferable without having to be completely rewritten. It's tied and integrated with existing technology, infrastructure data properly so that it can be easily transferred and scaled. And third, it's measuring its value in a language that we all recognize. We don't use unique or unusual metrics. These are ones that the business uses. So those three checks can be fairly simple. They can be a little bit more complex if the business is more diverse. That impedes scalability. In instances where we've seen solutions roll out effectively across networks of factories or applications in the smart city environment of monitoring across various platforms and across various aspects of resource management, the ones that move most quickly, the ones that are most successful, are the ones where they, one, solved a well-known, well-understood problem or cost issue. Number two, the technologies were crafted at the time of the pilot, at the time of the architecting, to be transferable, networkable, reusable. And third, the value proposition was articulated in language that every stakeholder could understand. You get those three things right in a use case, and once the pilot is successfully demonstrated, the barriers to scaling are very few.
Let's dig into this last item, the stakeholders, a little bit. So because of the interaction between IT and OT or information and operational technologies, there tend to be more stakeholders involved in an IoT deployment than you might have in a traditional deployment for many companies. What are your recommendations in terms of what stakeholders are involved, when they become involved, and how they become involved in terms of their level in engagement or their roles in the process? I personally believe this is quite important to success, and I imagine that a significant part of your job in helping companies succeed is helping them understand who should be involved and how.
The farther we go into this new world, the more it becomes clear how important foresight is. Generally, IT folks do a good job across the enterprise of developing enterprise standardized architectures, and there's a lot of history of the value around doing that. Not so much with OT folks. Again, part of this is just the nature of the industrial beast, probably true of smart cities as well, where aspects that you do want to connect or that you do want to see use the same kinds of solutions have not previously had a lot of exposure to one another. So we suggest to customers that they do with the operations technology folks what IT folks have done for years. And that is, well before any thoughts of scaling, before the production pilot in the first instance is done, bring the OT folks together, take stock of the OT operations technology variables that are going to be faced as we look to scale the solution. So it doesn't require a great deal of effort on the part of the operations technology folks and the various other factories, other aspects of city resource management, smart city resource management across various types of utilities. They don't have a lot of work to do at their early stage, but they ought to be at the table so that we understand what constraints around data, data access, timeliness, security, what factors are we going to face? So again, the idea of getting what will eventually be that larger group together virtually at the time that we're kicking off the use case, that matters a lot. And this isn't really, it's not difficult to do, but it's often overlooked because it feels administrative. But it's hard to overstate the value of bringing operations technology leaders who are concerned at the edge and from the edge back toward the cloud, towards the apps and toward the cloud, bring them in early so that when we have the opportunity to perhaps craft that use case differently or craft that application set to be more accommodating of the range of technologies that we're going to be facing when we scale, the better. And it's again, something that IT does, has done for decades. They know how to do that because of their stewardship of the enterprise from an IT standpoint, systems and infrastructure standpoint. Now that we're talking so much more about connecting to the edge and about doing more work at the edge, the OT folks ought to be mirroring those behaviors. And so that's what we suggest to our customers. And again, that seems to have preempted issues that we would otherwise expect to have encountered.
Jeff, is there an example of a successful deployment where you face some implementation challenges around along the way? Potentially, it was deployed before you entered in and you had to clean up a situation, or it was a challenging deployment and you had to mitigate risk as you went through that you'd be able to speak to today?
There's one, and it's a large Asian industrial that a multi-business unit industrial that had each business unit and had grown up with its own technology plans and architectures, and therefore had essentially across four business units, four times the cost in some areas that it felt it should. So in this instance, it was not so much a retrenchment as it was a realignment. It wasn't complete retrenchment. But as this conglomerate sought to advance its IoT capabilities, do more connection all the way to the edge to pull data from machines, to pull data from fielded products, they went back to their technology strategy and they made adjustments to that. And then they, once having done that, it was much easier for them to implement these newer technologies on top. So it's a story of a company that was successful in four business units, but then realized that for it to go to the next level of efficiency and competitive posture, it had to reduce its operating costs in IT and in operations technology and engage much more reusability. And so it did some of the things I spoke of earlier around the various components, the six components or requirements. It did more work to attend to the applicability of a use case more broadly. And so it was a behavioral change because now these four businesses had to work across their lines more effectively, hadn't done that before. The business use cases became the currency of conversation to do that. The integration of the OT folks, the manufacturing technologies for commercial engines and agricultural equipment and electrical equipment were all different, but yet they found similarities down to the way actual PLCs worked and then the data streams and so forth. So once they started paying attention to the commonalities across these four business units and considering those commonalities when they decided on use cases, suddenly they were able to operate as one enterprise, not four enterprises. In another instance, much smaller in scale, we worked with a factory around a particular piece of equipment. This is an electronics hardware manufacturer in the automotive industry space. And they have a particular piece of equipment, a reflow oven for curing soldered boards and so forth, SMB technology. And these machines are critical to the successful production of quality product. And before they began, they set the use case dimensions that they wanted to use this solution across all of this type of equipment, across all the factories worldwide. So they did what I said earlier. They brought the operations technology people in because they had multiple generations and vintages of this particular kind of technology with much different sensing equipment, many different kinds of PLCs, different SCADA systems, different kinds of manufacturing execution systems that fed orders to them. They looked at all those factors and considered them when they built the use case. Then they went and implemented in their pilot plant in the United States, and it worked. And the scaling was rapid because they had previously recognized where they needed to be more accommodating of some of the older equipment. They'd begun to prepare those older units for ultimately using this business solution. And so that would, that demonstrated the value of what we said earlier about bringing IT and OT together across the ecosystem that you're going to end up scaling into, and doing it before you put that first production pilot into place. So not only did we prevent the purgatory, but we accelerated, we helped the customer to accelerate the scaled implementation. So it's again, this is more administrative, I think, Eric, in the end. It's more having the vision of where we want to go. There's the old cliche that so many people say, it's think big, start small, scale fast. And we sort of have taken that apart and said, what do each of those three terms mean? What does it mean to think big? What does it mean to start small? And what does it mean to scale fast? That's so we see the stuff working in both these settings where you start from the outside with a big enterprise that's trying to move ahead. And we've seen it from the other direction where we've got an enterprise that starts with a single factory and a single kind of machine and also wants to achieve the same end goal.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on the concept of agile and this being a potential tension between IT and OT? So one of the topics that I've just spoken with some people about lately has been, in IT, organizations tend to be more agile in terms of their ability to test out concepts quickly. If there is an issue, to change the concept and maybe even nearly real-time updates or at least short-term updates. And then also to scale the solution rapidly when they find a good fit. And then with OT, of course, less so. So, you know, you have, if you're launching a new product, you might have a 3 to 5 year product development roadmap. If you're dealing with a factory, you might be dealing with very heavy CapEx costs and then scaling issues there. Is this a tension that you find when you're deploying a solution that requires both significant IT, but also significant OT and different timelines or mentalities in terms of innovating, testing, and scaling those different technologies in a integrated solution?
Oh, absolutely does. And you nailed it with respect to the dimensions that matter. When a factory is constrained by the risk to operational stability and the fact that generally these kinds of significant changes to technology involve CapEx expenditures, those are factors that tend to slow things down. So we focus on, from an agile standpoint, the MVP, the minimum viable product. And our counsel is, when you bring IT and OT together, define a minimum viable product that the manufacturing folks are comfortable going forward with, whether it involves at that stage a capital expenditure or not. What the factory can't tolerate, and I think this is likely true of smart cities, it's certainly true of field service organizations as well, what they can't tolerate is a lot of experimentation on the live system. And they don't have the resources to invest in long experimental multiple scrums before we even get to an MVP kind of process. So the design, it's almost a design of experiments discipline that gets involved in this. The integration of IT and OT toward defining MVPs or an MVP for a particular scope that the factory would agree should go into production helps to make that clear. And particularly if there's a required capital expenditure and one has to go with a proposal with an ROI and investment return risk, risk weighting and so forth, all the more. So we don't find any kind of fundamental objection to the ideas around Agile and Scrums and multiple releases. That's not as much of an issue as the first one and the resistance to experimentation that is so characterized the manufacturing setting. So we tend to use the MVP as the rallying point between the operations technology and more broadly the operations folks, plant management folks, and IT.
Jeff, I think this is super useful conversation for me. Very interesting because I deal with a lot of technology companies and with end users, and this tends to be a tension also in perspective. So quite interesting to see PTC addressing this from the technology perspective, but also from the really taking that end user perspective of value creation and helping to think through from that perspective as well. Any items that you think we should cover from just a practical good advice perspective before we round out the call?
I think we've covered a great deal of it, Eric, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I'd close by validating what you and I have spoken on this call with the fact that we had 6 executives from a range of large industrial companies recently in Boston at PTC's annual LiveWorks event, and they sat on a panel, and all 6 of these executives from very diverse kinds of industrial and product and consumer product companies all agreed with the premise that the focus in any kind of IoT, IIoT investment in any of the venues, any of the areas that have been identified as leading, whether it's smart cities or industrial or service, it's got to be focused on value first. and technology second. Again, that may sound odd coming from a software solution and product company, but I see more and more clarity as we go year over year on the idea that these solutions have to be driven first by value and then by the technology. Sounds simple to say. Hopefully we've taken a look at some of the components of that in this discussion, but that's what I'd leave our listeners with. Start with figuring out the value and the drivers and how to get to the value equation, and let the technologies then respond to those. And that was what we heard from these executives. And I think that's at the core of what you and I have talked about today.
Perfect. Well, let's leave it there, Jeff. If somebody wanted to follow up with you or your team and have a conversation about a project that they're interested in, what's the best way to reach out?
Well, at ptc.com, there are several resources and links available to reach out to various parts of the business. People are welcome to go to ptc.com/advisory, and there are lists of contacts and some information there around the kind of work that we do. And I just encourage people to go there. And we're accessible through those links at ptc.com.
Perfect. Yeah, and I really appreciate that online. You have a lot of information that also gives a good amount of clarity into the types of projects you do. So I think it also makes sense for somebody that's just interested in the topic to poke around your website and educate themselves. Jeff, thanks so much for the time today. Really interesting conversation for me, and I think for the audience, super useful.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and thanks for the opportunity to share some ideas.
This episode of the Industrial IoT Spotlight podcast is part of a collaboration with PTC, the global software company that helps companies design, manufacture, operate, and service things for a smart, connected world. To learn more about PTC, visit www.ptc.com. And to collaborate on future podcasts with IoT One, please feel free to reach out to us at team@iotone.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Industrial IoT Spotlight. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at IoT1HQ and to check out our database of case studies on IoTone.com. If you have unique insight or a project deployment story to share, we'd love to feature you on a future edition. Write us at eric.walenza@iotone.com.